Hi, this is Shannon from Voices of Defiance, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
And now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent J.
And I'm Consultant Wing.
Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, podcast number 52. Two, covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 9, Ye Who Enter Here. This podcast is recorded Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Copyright Disney Corporation and the general Marvel Universe.
Because of villains with facial scars.
If you'd like to talk to us about villains with facial scars or anything else Marvel related, go check out our website, legendsofshield.com. We also have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube. Search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. You will find us. And you can contact us there. Also, we have forums. Go and use them. Great place to talk to many people talking about many different geeky shows. That is forums.gunnageek.com or search Gunna Geek, all one word, on your Tapatalk app.
Hey, first try. Good job.
I know. That's amazing. And welcome, Jay, to the podcast. I believe this is the first time you're on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. Is that not?
Yes, it is.
Wow. And for those of you that are new to the Gunna Geek Network or don't hear Jay on any of the other wonderful podcasts he's on, he does actually produce a Doctor Who podcast on the Gunna Geek Network called the Gallifrey Public Radio. Haley, do you know anything about that?
I don't know. Sounds silly to me.
She shows up and listens every week.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a live performance for me. It's recorded in front of a live studio audience made up of me.
With Ailey's commentary.
In addition to some wonderful Doctor Who knowledge, Jay actually is involved in another podcast, a comic book podcast on the Gunna Geek Network called The Starling Tribune about the CW television show Arrow. Wing, do you know anything about that?
Yeah, do you know something about that too?
I know that you don't edit.
No, I show up. This is magic. I love it.
We do a live studio performance for you, Wing?
No, I talk a lot. I make you edit.
Too much.
Yeah.
So we do have some comic book knowledge with us on the podcast today. Unfortunately, Lauren she's a little sick. She's a little under the weather, running a little fever, and we decided we didn't want to get those podcast germs through the interwebs.
We told her not to touch that obelisk, and she just wouldn't listen.
She tried. Come on.
She's like, no, guys, I'm totally worthy. I can do this. She was wrong.
Yeah.
The diviner got her.
Thankfully, we were able to get the arm off before it got past the elbow, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's working the tourniquet pretty hard right now. So anyway, we do have the four of us here. Lauren, hopefully, will be back with us for the mid-season finale next week. We just learned that it is definitely next week last night, so that's pretty cool.
No, that's not the mid-season finale. It's the start of the prequel.
The start of the prequel. What are you talking about?
No, there's one more episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. next week, and then we get a couple weeks off, and then we get the prequel.
We get weeks off? I thought they never stopped.
Nope, they're taking 3 weeks off.
I am going to be very, very grateful for those 3 weeks.
I didn't say you got to take the 3 weeks off.
Yeah, that's right, because I'll be catching up with all of my backlog. We'll have to talk about if we're going to podcast
or not.
They're
going to make you watch Big Hero 6. Oh, God.
Make me? No, I want to. I just haven't had time to.
Oh.
I haven't had time to watch it yet either.
I'm sorry.
Pa-la-la-la.
Jay, it's worth going to, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's fun. It's a fun family movie. Don't go into it expecting anything more than that. but it is a fun family movie.
I was expecting something along the line of The Incredibles.
Yes, and I didn't get that. Not even close.
Is Wing just being all French?
Wing's being French. Wing's being incredibly French.
Yeah.
It happens.
Frenchie, go away.
Yeah. No.
All right. We did have an episode this week. It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Ye Who Enter Here. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it right now.
Boom.
What?
Take that.
Boom.
To a little change in the format, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about the episode first. So,
change is bad.
We fear change.
So apparently, who do we want to talk about first here?
Let's start at the beginning and talk about Sky's Dream.
Yes.
Yes, because...
Okay.
What?
That was trippy.
Okay, here's what I think. I think that is an actual memory of what happened with her. It's just she doesn't remember the details, so she's subbing in, you know, her team mom and team dad for her real parents.
Mm-hmm.
But that they said similar things, similar events happened, and they said, bye-bye, Angel Eyes. So I wonder if that's her real name, is Angel Eyes.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's probably Angel Eyes in some different language.
Probably.
It's probably a name that translates to Angel Eyes.
Yep, that's what I think.
I like that.
I like that a lot. Because I was confused.
Yeah, I was wondering what that whole thing meant, because there was no reference to it for the rest of the episode whatsoever.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it to come back at the end, but that's not at all what I got at the end, so I was like, okay.
No, we got launch the nuclear weapon. That's what we got at the end.
Nuclear.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear.
Nuclear whistles.
There you go. Took us a while to get around to it, but we got there.
That's what I'm here for, folks.
Okay, so why was she having the dream, though?
That I don't know.
Because she's getting nearer to the city?
Maybe. I'm trying to think if she's been exposed to anything recently that would have stirred all this up.
Yeah, the most I can figure is probably just all the information she's getting from Coulson, the things that are happening, everybody running into her dad, and it's just, she's trying to figure a lot of things out, and it's probably shaking some stuff loose.
Possibly, yeah.
Starting to remember latent memories.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But you guys don't have memories of when you were 8 months old?
Oh, yeah, totally. No. Oh, poop. No.
Grr. Okay. So then Mac, he makes a little toy Lola.
He does. I still don't think Coulson's going to let him touch Lola.
No. Definitely not now.
Yeah. Oh, but. He was so humanized in the last couple of episodes. I really, really liked him.
I don't know, dude. The whole conspiracy thing with Bobby Morris, Mockingbird, I don't know what's going on with that.
Okay.
Oh, so are we going to talk about the thing?
The thing?
The
are we going to talk about the thing now?
Yes, let's talk about
the other thing. I mean. Okay.
That
so
thing?
We know that thing. Yes.
We don't have the rights to that thing.
How dare you talk about that thing on a family show?
Hashtag it's all connected. Spell out hashtag, though. You got to spell it out.
Don't do that. Okay, so Hartley was in on this other thing, and I think maybe this other thing is another one of the super secret organizations like S.W.O.R.D. maybe, and they're trying to keep an eye on S.H.I.E.L.D. to make sure they're not all evil and stuff again.
Ooh.
Okay.
So a secret organization within the secret organization, but separate from the other secret organization that was
but
in the secret organization.
Not an evil secret organization within the secret organization. Well, semi-good organization.
Just a dubious secret organization. Yeah.
It's like those Russian dolls. There's just organizations within organizations within organizations.
That's what Hydra is. A bunch of different heads that forget to talk to each other.
Yeah. Because that's what we did last season, is the evil organization inside of our secret organization. So I don't think they can do that exact same thing again. It would just be silly.
Well, on the other end, you know, when you do a second season and you rehash your first way better, I'm good with it.
But no, what I think they're trying to do is play up that you shouldn't be trusting Bobby Morse. So when they start talking about, you know, we've got a sleeper agent inside of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I think is Simmons.
Yes.
This is all just misdirection. So when they activate her, it'll be a shock.
Yeah.
Again, I think. I like it.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to bring S.W.O.R.D. in or whatever it is into the Avengers?
Yes.
Maybe. Especially if they're going to have, you know, a big galactic foe be in Avengers 3 and 4 like we think they are. It's probably going to be Thanos. Then it would make sense to have S.W.O.R.D.
Because the last time we used an acronym like that, that worked pretty well.
Well, we have heard at the mid-season finale that everything would change. I haven't heard that from a couple of weeks, but I do remember hearing that.
I think the change is going to be the Terrigen Mist, though. Because the next week's episode is called What Will They Become, I think.
Yeah, but now they're talking Kree. They're not talking Inhuman. Yes.
Yes, but the Inhumans are created by the Kree.
By the Kree.
So if they're talking about Kree, then I think they're talking about bringing in the Inhumans.
Okay. Let's bring the uncopyrighted mutants. I'm ready.
Dude, you don't say the M word.
I know. But I'm a DC boy.
You can't even say metahumans here because it's DC.
Yeah.
I am not saying
You're
that.
Saying that. Oh, that was so good. I'm sorry. Crossover. Arrow, The Flash. Amazing.
Well, it was. This is an amazing week.
It was a good week. No, I think, I don't remember what I thought. My thoughts just wandered off.
I hate that when
like
that happens.
Like a flash.
More like a streak.
Yeah, a brown streak?
I see what's happening here.
The ratings are just climbing as we speak.
I'm working really hard since the start of this one. Come on.
Well, Mac did say a storm's coming, and I'm wondering exactly what he was referring to.
I think that specifically was about the storm that's about to happen with Bobby and Hunter when they break up again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they are definitely that couple that is completely in love until the next time they break up, and it's just a train wreck for everyone mm-hmm. near them.
Yeah, Bobby did mention that she would tell Simmons, you know, after it had happened, so yeah.
Yeah, because she knows it's going to happen again. It's their thing.
Man, oh, this God. Is so much misdirection. This
we
is
were
wonderful.
On a break.
I'm like, if you're up the right channel, Haley, I'm really enjoying how they're steering the show.
I don't know. I'm either completely right or completely wrong. There's nothing in between.
Yeah. But this episode was great for character interaction. They all add little moments here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we got a scene with Trip with his shirt off. That was great. We haven't seen him in a while. They didn't kill him.
And he actually had lines this week.
Yeah. I know. Crazy. Like three of them. It was great. And he had his little salute with Simmons.
And we had a scene with May without her face.
Evil May. I told you they couldn't kill her because it would be waste of a perfectly good face scar. And they didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is awesome. Evil May is awesome. I'm just saying that's a good concept.
Did you guys notice that her scar was different from one scene to another, though?
No.
Because in some of the early episodes, the scar went all the way down to her lip. And then in the scene at the end, it stopped like an inch above her lip. So, yeah.
She's getting better.
A little bit inconsistent, but...
She's wearing a mask that's malfunctioning, though, right?
I think it's just damaged.
Yeah, I think the mask is just, like, done.
It's so to her face.
Well, right, but it could be trying to reconstitute itself around the edges.
Yeah, because when she talks, it's still electronic, so there's still an electronic something in there, so that might move.
Yeah, that's the voice modulator thing.
Ouch.
Her freaky robot voice. Crush, kill, destroy.
Yeah, but the concept of Evil May works so well. It's just that she's getting her ass kicked all the time now, so...
I don't know, she handed it to Sky pretty well. I mean, that was a cool fight, though.
But Sky held her own for a lot longer than she would have a year ago.
Oh, yeah, yes. Absolutely.
She's leveling I'm just up. Saying.
But she was holding her own against May last week, or a couple of weeks ago.
Right, and okay, so if you want to compare the two fights, the Agent 33 May fight versus the Sky Agent 33 fight, the May Agent 33 fight was definitely better cut, better choreographed, and this was more flashbang, we're going to cut really quick, back and forth, that sort of thing. So while cool fight, it wasn't as good as the May Agent 33 fight.
And you know, I think they're starting to have a problem that they're putting everyone in black cat suits. And then when they start doing like fast fights and stuff where they're obviously using the stunt doubles, so they've got the wigs covering their faces and stuff, it's hard to tell who's who when the fight scene's going on.
A little bit of Michael Bay.
Yeah, I think they need to start finding like a reason to put people in different colored costumes or something. Because when they're fighting and they're all just wearing black, you can't really tell them apart.
That's why they do that.
Like, you know, just randomly taking May's dress off. It works.
See, that's why that fight worked better, because you could tell it was her.
So many levels.
Yeah.
So many.
That's why I enjoyed that fight.
Yep. That's exactly why.
Completely.
And that's the reason they did it, too. They were like, well, we'll put her in her skivvies just so you can tell which one's which.
Exactly.
That's what they were thinking when they did that.
She was enjoying, Ming-Na Wen was enjoying all the attention that got her for weeks afterwards.
Dude, she is 50.
What?
50 years old. That is how old Ming-Na Wen is.
Oh my God.
I know. She looks better than 97% of the 20-year-olds out there.
She was posting pictures of the filming of that scene of her on set around those scenes for weeks afterwards on Facebook.
Well, no duh.
Well, I'm going to follow her on Facebook now.
Yes, you should. If you're not following Ming-Na Wen on Facebook, you so should.
You should, because when she was live tweeting the finale of last season and she had the nail hydra line, which was perfect.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay, speaking of Nail Hydra, I was really hoping that Sky would shoot Ward in the foot when he was being a total D-bag in control of the situation.
I know.
And he would hop around saying, ah, exact, same, spot.
That would have been good.
I know. Well, unfortunately, she couldn't, because if she would have shot him in the foot, it would have gone out for the, you know, through the floor of 616.
And it would have hit Lola.
I don't think so. I bet they were smart enough to put bulletproof floors and stuff into the shield plane. Because they're like, you know, we might have guns going off sometimes.
Right. The floors, they'll make bulletproof. But the outside of the plane, no. That nobody's going to find us.
I was going to say, that worked so well for them at the end of last season.
Maybe that's what they've been doing all season, is fixing the plane, upgrading it.
Upgrade. Well, did we get more windows? I think we did get new windows, didn't we?
They at least sweeped up all the old glass.
Yeah, they did.
Did we get an aquarium?
We didn't see it, maybe.
No.
Maybe it's on the other side of the plane.
Oh, we need to visit.
Well, Fury's not in charge anymore. We can have it. We can tell him that we've got it now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Big difference between Coulson and Fury.
You know what we didn't see in the plane this episode that we should have? We didn't see the freaking interrogation room. Why did they not stuff Reyna in there? Come on.
Why did they give her a lanyard? Their standards have certainly dropped lately.
I know.
Yes.
Just like, oh, everyone has a lanyard.
Well, I have a lanyard, so I guess, you know.
Okay, how many of them there are?
13. There's 13.
For real?
He fell for it.
But they both said it at the same time. It's like a running gag. They're having fun with it.
So when he took the picture of her for her lanyard, his phone screen was off. And I was like, dude, that is not how camera phones work. Not even a little bit.
They forgot the CGI.
I was more paying attention to the what the heck look on her face when he took it. And I'm like, yeah, that's a DMV photo right there.
It is.
It is.
But she just saw a cloak umbrella. That was awesome.
That was really cool.
I need one of those things.
I know. That would be so cool.
I love these old spy gadget inspired stuff. It's really cool. On the other end, if I see a guy cloaking an umbrella, I'm stopping and I'm taking pictures. Have you seen all the people? I start a video until they reappear or something. Just in case. Aliens are hiding under a magic umbrella. There was a lot of people in the street when they did that.
No, actually, there weren't any. They just all started walking by afterwards.
Okay.
Go back. Take a look at the scene again.
Yeah, I know. It makes no sense. All of a sudden, like, there's dozens of people in the street.
Yeah, and they didn't see him. That was the point.
Okay. I don't know. I love the gadget. I didn't buy the scene.
It's one of those things where it's like, I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye. But when you look, it's not there. You're like, oh, I must have been mistaken. Must have been a trick of the light or something.
Like a Bronx streak? Yeah.
I did like when Sam and Billy were talking back and forth about Sam hooking up with the cavalry.
Oh my God, are you 13? What the?
She's not going to hook up with you.
I don't think she is. No.
Right. Wait, so Sam's the shorter one, right?
Billy's the shorter one. And when Hunter goes face to face with him and they start talking about Agent 33 and he's just... Was it Hunter? Who was it? Was it Mac? Somebody was talking.
It was Trip.
It was Trip
was talking to them, yeah.
So it was Trip. And he couldn't say anything. He's like totally freaked out about it.
What? Do I have something in my teeth?
They knew exactly what he was doing. So seriously, is he a life model decoy or what? I mean,
he has to be.
But I thought a life model decoy actually had to be controlled by somebody somewhere else.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
No.
Okay.
They're one of those things that have been upgraded as you've gone through the comics, and they kind of just serve whatever plot hole they need to fill.
So it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. Cyberman?
Kind of.
Okay.
There are many copies.
Yeah.
Streams crossing all over the place.
But I think they're still keeping the kind of mystery just for fun. They're having fun with the audience with that one more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he keeps saying, like, I'll explain later. And he never does.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think we're going to kill Sam and Billy, and then we're going to get, like, a whole slew of new Koenigs.
Yes. Like six more.
Yeah.
If you're Patton Oswalt, you got to be loving that gig.
Yeah, it's being a Cylon, job security.
And he loves this job.
Of course he's like the biggest geek out there, except for maybe Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert is awesome. He's going to explain to you how our lightsaber work in 30 seconds. It's amazing.
Oh, have you ever seen, I think I've talked about this before, but there's a cutscene from Parks and Rec where they just needed him to ad-lib for a while, and he came up with this whole, mm-hmm. like, crossover between...
Right, it was
it, Star Wars and...
It was a hearing, and he was...
Yeah, he was filibustering.
Right.
Nice.
And the cutscene, they didn't use it all in the show, and the actual cutscene is on YouTube, and you can go watch it.
But it goes on for, like, 6 minutes, and you can see, like, all the people in the background of the shot that are supposed to be in the hearing just, like, cracking up. Oh, it's fantastic.
I'm going to research that. Thank you.
You should.
It's in the show notes for like a year ago.
Show notes? What are show notes?
I'll hook you up, man.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about the scene between Bobby and Simmons.
Yeah.
And in that, Simmons says that Fitz is her best friend, and she misses that, and that's what she wants back. But I don't think she's even remotely romantically interested in him.
Nope.
No.
She's hung up on Trip.
I know, because then they had that little salute later, and I was like, oh, those two are going to hook up, and it's going to break poor little Fitz's heart. Science babies!
And that's what's going to make him be a supervillain.
You know, I still kind of hope that they steer him down the supervillain path, because it would be so good for story and so bad for the feels.
That would be awesome. Working with Ward?
Oh, geez. No, I think Ward would be the first person he takes out, actually.
Yeah, that would be fine with me.
That's how he become a supervillain?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because if something is going to break him, it's going to be Ward.
He's going to mind wipe and mind control Ward to be his minion.
Well, it was interesting that he could not shoot Mac, even though Coulson ordered him to. And I think he would have if Mockingbird didn't tase Mac with those wonderful batons of hers. I didn't know they did that. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
I don't know if he would have been able to do it. I think he might have ended up thrown against a wall.
Yeah, that's that too. But maybe
I think he might have winged him. I think he might have like tried to take a shot, but you know, maybe hit his arm or something.
It's only gonna piss him off.
I don't think he'd have been able to make a kill shot. No.
Yeah. Do you think he's dead?
No.
Oh hell no. No, no, no.
No. He's all souped up, full of Kree juice.
He's just at the bottom of the pit. Yeah. Okay.
But he'll be fine, meaning he'll be normal again, or
who knows?
Eventually.
He'll be undamaged. We'll say that.
Okay.
He'll get better.
Because I don't know what Kree juice does or does not do.
I don't know.
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Men with red eyes, they get mad. That seemed to be the lesson this week.
It's the theme of the week. Yep.
There are themes of the week. It's great with these shows. I wonder if they talk to each other. Anyway.
Yeah, almost.
I really enjoyed the Coulson untouchable moment with the icer when Trip loads it and tosses it at him. It's straight out of the Untouchables.
Yeah, I saw that too.
That was great.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, stop listening to this podcast. Go find a copy of the Untouchables.
I gotta go, guys.
Another one for the list. The Untouchables is an awesome movie with Sean Connery and Kevin Costner.
Costner.
And a bunch of other folks.
I've seen part of it. I just haven't finished it yet.
It's good.
Haley, how much taller than you is your list at this point?
Dude, you know, it's a digital list, so...
How many iPads or stuff? You got to discount the 50 years of like Doctor Who and all the comic book stuff.
It's because she decided to start from the start, you know? She's still in the 30s.
Yeah. I'm watching all silent movies right now. I'm going to catch up eventually.
She's got Charlie Chaplin on the slate next week.
Gone with the Wind is coming up, guys. I hear you. It's really good.
Yes. Well, actually, it is.
She's our own Captain America at this point.
I got that reference. I understood that reference.
Wait, you just watched Gone with the Wind, or you're about to? So you've seen Citizen Kane.
No, I made that up. I did just watch last week, and I watched Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and I watched Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh.
How was Edge of Tomorrow? We were talking about that.
Edge of Tomorrow was so good.
It's really good. You know, I'm glad I watched it once, but it's not something I'm going to watch over and over again.
I don't know, but it's really good.
Same way with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I enjoyed it while I watched it, and I'm probably not going to watch it again.
You know, I've only really seen it once myself, too.
I still feel like they got the titles backwards for those two movies.
Yep.
Like, the first one should have been called Dawn, the second one should have been called Rise, but whatever.
But they're following the path of the old ones.
Dawn of the rise of the noontime of the start of the beginning of the middle.
Of the start of the apocalypse.
Of the prequels of the planet.
The thing with the monkeys.
Well, Talking about Armageddon, though, Coulson doesn't want to blow up 3 million people. There's no number.
Okay, so he says his acceptable losses are zero. I feel like Fury's would have been 3 million. Like, he's fine with the whole island having to die if it's big picture going to work.
This island, the one next to it, the one about 500 miles that way. Yeah,
a big chunk off of Florida, whatever it takes.
There's going to be a wave. We'll find somebody to stop a wave. Do we have?
It'll stop before it gets to like Idaho, right? Yeah, no, that's good.
Do we have a water guy? We need a water guy. Can you find us a water guy? That would be great.
And that was one of those conversations that made me think Bobby was trying to keep an eye on Coulson and figure out what his motivations are.
Yeah, but I wasn't quite sure why. I do like your analysis.
She's internal affair.
For an organization that doesn't exist anymore. And where is the general these days?
I don't know. He's probably investigating the death of a senator.
General Bad Mustache?
Yeah. General Bad Mustache probably is like, I'm going to lay low.
It's General Talbot and like Captain Mustache. It's got its own rank.
No, it hasn't broken corporal yet. Come on. That's a bad mustache.
It keeps getting demoted.
And November's over. Come on.
So we keep getting references to the fire. This is like the third week for it, right? So I'm wondering if it's really true or if there's a twist to it.
I think Ward did it. I don't trust him.
Yeah. No, the twist is that they're going to go on this big manhunt and they're going to get the FBI and all this crap. And it's going to be some like local yokel that stops him for a busted taillight that catches him. That's where the twist comes in.
Yeah, but then he kills the local yokel because we've seen him do that before.
Yokel.
We're going to break wing.
Okay, I got to go all rocket scientists here. You know, the whole tracker thing with the Cold War frequency. No, there is no such thing. There is just frequency. There was a story a few years ago about garage door openers in Florida not working because they were made by the company on this frequency allocated to the military for weapons testing. There are no Cold War frequencies. There's just a frequency spectrum and they're all doled out. There's no, come on.
I don't agree. There is a Cold War frequency because everybody has used that excuses for the last 50 years in movies. So it exists like a car. You shoot it, it explodes. Okay?
Because reasons.
Yes.
Science.
Transistors. And
no, not because of science. Because of science, there is no special frequency. They're all the
comic
same.
Comic book science.
Okay. Sheesh. Thank you.
Transistorized magnet frequency.
Frequency through the negative zone.
Just had to get my little dig
I don't
in.
Think they've got the rights to the negative zone.
Oops. You're right, they don't.
Until the Fantastic Four movie crashes, then they'll have them.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, don't die out there, okay? It's Canada.
It's Canada.
It's just cold.
You know, I was just rewatching Iron Man 2 today because my kids watch movies in the car for like, you know, 2 months straight.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
And so the thing came up with Justin Hammer saying, "Yeah, I'd love to leave my door unlocked, you know, but this isn't Canada." And I'm like, you know, I wonder how many references they've made in Marvel movies to Canada. Because I'm just curious at this point.
Well, I like Canada, and I don't lock my door.
Just because you live in Canada.
Yeah, you know. It's useful. When you need a little bit of milk, you go next door, you just get some milk, you come back. It's amazing.
And you don't have to worry about putting it in the refrigerator either. You just put it in the snowbank out back.
Yeah, well, yes, of course. It's amazing. And then you can play hockey in the street.
See, what'll really mess him up is when you know, the thief finally breaks in. It's like, hey, your door was unlocked. I went ahead and locked it for you, eh?
I tidied up a bit too, eh? Move the laundry over for you, yeah?
That's better than most Minnesotans I know.
God.
I think they make the references to Canada when they're filming in Canada. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, we were in BC this week.
Yeah.
We were.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they shot outside. They have to be.
Yeah, I thought it was still 80.
They were like Vancouver, BC. Because, you know, every city in the world is Vancouver. So
Right. Everybody
knows that.
Well, and also every planet with a gate attached to it.
That's true. That is true.
Every planet. I mean, there's some deserts.
No, there's one desert.
There's the desert of BC, and then there's, you know, snow all the time and big Rocky Mountain and a city. And you can do every planet in the possible universes. It's amazing.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to the part of the show where we talk about how awesome May is.
Oh, May is awesome.
Okay, so Ward is on the plane.
Yes.
And, you know, he's like, hey, if you shoot me, you know, they shoot the plane down and we all die. Maybe it's worth it. Yes, it is. It is. Take the shot. Take the shot.
I seriously wanted one of them to wing him or something.
I did too.
Take some shot.
One of them needed to be like, you know, it's totally worth it. Boom.
I know. Hunter was saying, no, wait a second. I think he was the only one that was being cautious, other than Sky, who just willingly went.
Right, but he doesn't know Ward.
Right.
If he knew him, he'd be like, totally worth it.
Sky willingly went. What was up with that?
You're coming with us. The hell she is. She's being like all big picture, sacrificial, whatever, stupid.
She's being like, well, it's in the script, so I guess I will.
I think she wants to be there a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
I'll be honest. I really think she wants to be there a little bit because she wants to know if she can touch the thing now. And she wants to see her father.
She hugged Coulson and knew that she would never see him again or wasn't planning on seeing him again.
I could see that.
Okay, when you hug somebody before you get kidnapped or something, usually you slip them something. So we're going to see a flashback at some point.
Whisper ankle holster
ankle
in their ear.
Holster.
Yes. Yes, something like that. So that's coming back.
All right, if we're going to cross the streams, I'm just going to say one word, Felicity.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Another shirtless scene this week.
Absolutely.
Yes, that was good.
I laughed so hard when I saw that scene. Yeah. Oh.
And then, you know, Cisco voicing everyone's thought at that point.
Okay, so can we finish this podcast? So I can go watch the second part of this.
I know.
Just finish airing. I'm just saying because first part was awesome.
Yes, yes. For those of you that don't know, we are referring again to the Flash Arrow crossover. Because
okay, you have the old cast of the Starling Tribune here, and you have the producer of of the Crimson Comet.
Yep.
So that's the crossover right there.
Yep.
Okay, and we're in another universe. Do you want to cross more over?
We got streams crossing in every direction.
Phrasing.
Oh, God. Ollie and May fighting. I want to see it.
Oh, yes. May would kick his ass.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Because right now he's got his whole moral, I can't kill people thing going, and she does not have that.
Okay, they would fight for about 3 minutes and then wind up sleeping together.
Yep.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I can see that.
I did like May playing Felicity with the van, you know, impacting Ravager.
Yes. Those guys flew way further than they should have.
Nice pull.
My mind immediately went back to Arrow last year. Again, for those of you that don't know, I was talking about a scene from the penultimate season 2 Arrow episode.
Penultimate.
Well, it was. I mean,
it was.
Okay. Yeah. So I have one more question about this episode, and it is, what the heck happened to Mac and the dwarves down at the bottom of the shaft?
You should not have touched the floor.
I'm pretty sure it's just electronics don't work down there because of science-y reasons, space, technology, aliens.
Okay, but he just touched the floor. So what?
No. He traced the symbol.
Yeah, it's something similar to the obelisk where it affects people different ways. And that's just designed to turn you into a killing machine.
So Coulson, Sky is going to be okay. Flower Girl.
Right. Well, Raina and Sky definitely. I'm not sure what effect the Kree blood has had on Coulson.
Yeah.
As far as it relates to the other characters.
I wouldn't assume Coulson is good. I would agree on that.
I think they're going to want Coulson in the shot. So probably he's good.
Yeah, but in the shot, but not touching anything.
Producer reason.
No, but I'm saying, you know, if they have Raina or Sky, one of the two, open the door, I think anybody can go in with them.
Maybe. But I think that Coulson and Hydra guy are okay with all the transplant they had and blood, blah, blah. That's my theory.
Oh, anyway. Whitehall.
Whitehall,
maybe.
Thank you.
Maybe.
I love hating Whitehall. I'm just saying.
I know.
That actor is such a good villain, like, everything. Yeah. He's just, like, so soft-spoken and articulate and clean cut, and you're like, yep, you are definitely a Nazi.
Yes!
I think I've seen him one time where he wasn't in a villainous role, and the entire time I was watching, I was just waiting for him to, like, screw somebody over. And at the end, I felt betrayed because it didn't happen.
I remember him on Judging Amy. He was the dickish love interest for a while, who you never really liked, and you're like, why is she dating this guy? Oh, speaking of characters from this show who we see a certain way, The guy who plays Sitwell was on Walking Dead lately.
Yes.
And I was like, don't trust him. Don't trust him. Don't do it. He's coming off as trustworthy, but don't trust him. And then he betrays them. I was like, oh, I told you not to trust him.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Spoilers. But this was like 2 weeks ago, dude.
You
catch up.
He's still alive, though.
I was going to say, I wanted you to say that he showed up as a zombie so that we could finally point it.
He's there. He's crossing the stream.
Yeah, he was like a smear on the highway, just reaching up with one hand.
Ah. See, he bulked up after he was thrown in the road. Yeah. And if you take a look at the TNT summer series that he was, The Last Ship, he was a lot heavier than he was in The Walking Dead. So he lost a lot of weight to be in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I could see that.
Good for him.
Yeah. And that's kind of confusing to me because isn't The Walking Dead shot in the summer? So I guess The Last Ship must have been shot last winter.
It's shot in Georgia. It's always an armpit there. It doesn't matter if it's summer or winter or whatever.
No, I was talking more about when he was able to lose all that weight because it doesn't happen overnight.
Maybe he got a divorce and a depression. Who knows?
Okay, fair enough. It happens.
My character died. What? I lost my job.
I lost my job in the Marvel Universe. What am I going to do? I was an Avenger.
That he was not an Avenger. You hush your mouth.
Coulson was the only agent that's an Avenger.
He was not an Avenger?
Sitwell.
Okay.
Is not an Avenger.
No, he was in Avenger.
In Avenger?
He was in the one shot that came with Avengers.
Right, he was in Avengers, but that does not make him an Avenger.
Oh, yeah, he was. Come on, it's a superhero. He survived a splat on the road. Come on, give him that.
He did not survive. He's dead. Also, he was on Hydra.
Yeah.
By your arguments, Crossbones is an Avenger.
Well, maybe.
No.
Because I love the Avengers, you know.
All right. What else are we missing from this episode, guys?
Well, Lauren's not here. Science babies. Oh.
That was crushing.
Yeah. So there's the scene with them on the plane. I had time and I'm not better.
Yeah.
I can work for you. I just can't work with you.
But then start finishing his phrase. And I'm like, oh,
I know. I know. And then you're like, there's hope for them.
Yeah, you know, that's all that was, too, is it's just hope.
And then, you know, she got thrown against a wall. Ugh.
Yeah,
they're just trying to get your hopes up so they can crush them again.
That's what Joss Whedon does.
Yeah, this isn't him so much as his brother and sister-in-law, but yeah.
Yeah, well,
they're finally going to start, like, actually dating, and then while Fitz is getting ready, Angel's going to come and snap Simmons' necks.
Yes.
Who?
Okay, so... Yes, I agree that Joss is not fully attached to this, but he is still doing...
His fingerprint is everywhere.
Yes, he's still on contract to do large story writing for the entire Marvel Universe with Disney/Marvel Corporation, so...
What does this guy do now?
On the show, I feel like what he probably does is when they're doing, like, breaking stories for the entire season, he's probably in the writer's room while they're doing that part, but I don't get the sense that he's, you know, editing scripts or anything along that line.
True. I would agree.
But that's a high profile guy right now that has a movie coming up in 6 months who has no other project who he's attached to.
Maybe he's doing Dr. Horrible 2.
Haley really wants her Dr. Horrible 2.
I agree with Haley on that. But my point is that this is what you do between projects. You always have something else usually on the pipeline. He has nothing.
Right. This is when he usually does his smaller project. Well, he's probably working post on Avengers 2 right now.
Or maybe he is like, I have a load of money and I'm gonna go produce my own movie for a while and I don't care because I'm rich.
Adam says he's just sitting at home counting his Avengers money.
That's what I'd be doing.
I mean, that's one of those things where he can sit there and be like, you know what? I feel like making $6 million. I'm gonna go sit down for 5 minutes.
You know what I would do, seriously, is I would go to a wonderful beach, I would have a ton of Mai Tais, and then I would spend the next 2 weeks in the emergency room.
Are you going to go to Tahiti?
It's a magical place. Why not? I need it after dying, after alcohol poisoning.
The point is, when you're this kind of creative guy that were doing a bunch of side projects before and had problem financing them, and all of a sudden you're like, I feel like doing Dr. Horrible 2 and maybe 3, and let's put $10 million in there because I can.
Right.
You know what? In addition to Dr. Horrible 2, I'll bet you he would finance anything that Felicia Day wants to do.
Yeah, shit like that.
Maybe.
Because he can.
Yeah. Right.
Well, after Avengers, he did Much Ado.
Yep.
You know, that was just his little passion project. So I'd expect that's what we're going to see next from him, is just some small little project he wants to do.
Much Ado was done before Avenger, though.
Actually, it was kind of concurrent, and he's like, yeah, that was a terrible idea. I don't know what I was thinking.
Fair enough.
But wasn't Much Ado done, like, over, like, a weekend at his house?
Yeah, it was, I think it's while he was doing post-production on the first Avengers movie is when he was doing Much Ado.
Great idea, Jess. Great idea.
All right, anything else that we're missing on the episode, guys?
Yeah, we haven't talked about the Reyna and Sky conversations at all yet.
I kind of alluded to him, but yeah. Right.
Okay, so it's not crazy. It's our destiny, says the crazy person.
Yes! That's always what the person who wants you to drink the Kool-Aid says. Well, yeah, but on the other end, you're talking crazy, like extraterrestrial and Kree and
right
stuff.
I don't know. I just get the, she's, you know, the true believer, crazy eyes kind of person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally, like, I was behind her. I was like, okay, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to get her and she's going to be part of the team and it's going to be awesome. And then as soon as she was like, so Whitehall has the Diviner, I was like, oh, you evil bitch.
This was an episode where everyone found out everyone's secrets, kind of. Well, not everyone's. We don't know what's up with Bobby and Mac, but yeah.
I have to take my hat off to Ward, though. He was very strategic. I mean, I didn't realize totally why he wanted Sky, but after the conversation with Agent 33 in Whitehall in the trailer, in the bumper,
he knew that they would shoot the plane.
No. Okay, that might have been it. But what I'm referring to is he now has a bargaining piece with the doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
True. And I think he's still kind of creepy ex-boyfriend obsessed with her.
And I think he's good enough to know that they would overrule his command. So he didn't lie. He didn't shoot the plane.
Mm-hmm.
They did. If they did, they probably didn't. But
what's his shtick? What's he trying to do here?
He just wants Sky to love him, and he's going to make it happen.
Of course.
And it's going to be creepy.
That's how it works.
I really, really hate him. I can't lie about that. Yeah.
They did a good job then, because I had no feeling about him at all last season, and now I'm like, you know?
I just, every time I see him on screen, I want somebody to shoot him. Like, you don't have to shoot to kill, just shoot him.
Agreed.
They were talking for a long time about a possibility of a redemption arc, and I just think the boy is too far gone.
Oh, the ship has sailed on that one. You can't redeem him now.
Right, if they were going to do that, they wouldn't have sent him back to Hydra, I don't think.
I think as soon as they seen in season two how much people love to hate him, they were like, okay, let's just go full on and make him like one of our recurring bad guy. I don't think they're going to kill him.
I was going to say, how long can you string that out, though?
Couple of seasons!
No, if they were going to kill him, they would have done it already. I think what we're going to see is him slowly moving up to being the big bad.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of been secondhand lackey up to this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, they were doing that in Buffy with certain characters and stuff like that, so who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else, guys?
Yeah, okay, so then the second conversation between Reyna and Sky, her and her little merry band of freaks were taken in by the doctor, so we know there's more people out there like her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she told Sky, we're human, Sky. We just have the potential to be more. Inhumans. Totally inhumans.
Right.
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. Can't wait.
And then this is where they finally confirmed that it was Kree. This is the official confirmation.
Yeah, I was going to say, this was the first time we'd heard it on the show.
That's good.
Yeah, it was confirmed in an article a few weeks ago. I guess maybe they didn't want to have people caught off guard that didn't know or whatever, but
wanted people to have time to look up what a Kree was.
Yeah, that didn't already catch on. I mean,
what's a Kree?
Because this does pander to a wide variety of audiences, right? You still have small kids watching the show.
Do you? Mm-hmm. You should not let small kids watch this show.
Well, it's on at 9 o'clock in Eastern time, so that's a PG-13 era.
I don't know. Jay, you have three kids and you have a nice spread. Does your older kid watch this show?
He doesn't now because he fell behind. Because when Captain America came out, he was like, no, well, I can't watch that until I see it. So he fell behind with the whole thing.
And those that fall behind are left behind in your household?
Exactly, yeah. Well, I'm not going to sit around and wait for him to go see Captain America so that I can watch my show. Screw that.
I did the same thing to my brother when he switched to working nights. Like, we used to watch the show together. And then he was like, oh, I can't watch it tonight. I'm too tired and I have to work. And I was like, well, you can catch up on your own then.
But no, he's 12 years old, so I'd be okay with him watching most of what happens on the show. Like, there's a couple things where I'd have been like, maybe not, but not the younger two. Oh, hell no.
The 7 years old?
Yeah.
Well, it probably wouldn't hold their interest either.
Yeah, well.
Well, it's not the flashy red suit, no.
Right.
Well, so you're Marvel, and you're trying to not make money today, but you're also trying to make money 10, 20 years from now. So you got to grow an audience. So there is some of that.
That's what the cartoons are for.
Good point.
Dude, my children can tell you, they've not even, I haven't let them watch Guardians of the Galaxy, but they can tell you more about Rocket than I can. And I've seen the movie 3 times.
Well, there's a Guardians cartoon coming, so they can watch that.
Oh, yeah. And they're all amped up on it. And they want Disney Infinity 2.0, and they want to make sure they get Rocket and Groot. They don't care about anyone else.
Oh, I'm sure. Give it a couple months. I'm sure they're going to put out another series of those toys.
Mm-hmm.
You have to buy like a whole new little kit. It'll be great.
Yeah, it's out.
Yeah.
It's out right now. You can go buy it.
I know. We sell those. Because they're technically part of video games, not toys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Exciting. You can collect.
Yeah. Got to catch them all.
Nice.
So, Jay, all your kids are still watching Star Wars Rebels, though, right?
I don't know about my kids. I know I am.
I know. It's great.
I'm late on Star Wars Rebels. Is it still as good?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting better. Yeah.
Oh.
No, yeah. I mean, my oldest will sit there, and he knows when it comes on Disney, because as soon as that episode ends, the next one becomes available on the Watch Disney XD app. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm like, hey, you want to sit down and watch it? No, I watched it last week, but let me know when it's over so I can watch the next one. I'm like,
really? Dang, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that app.
But seriously, news of the week, light broadsword. Come on.
I
don't be a hater.
Loved this trailer. I can watch it and just enjoy it. Brings a smile to my face. Rarely do trailers bring a smile to my face. This one, awesome. Thank you very much, Disney.
Mm-hmm. You watch this and you're like, this is definitely not George Lucas. The camera's moving.
Okay, but my one thing that I keep on, like, I loved the trailer. I thought it was fantastic. But every time, as soon as I watch it and I get those, like, you know, really excited feelings, the thought goes through my head, you were excited about Phantom Menace.
I rewatched the trailer of Phantom Menace. I was excited because it was new Star Wars after so long. Now I'm excited because it's new Star Wars, not by George Lucas.
Yeah, I'll have to agree. Yeah.
I know, but it's just one of those things. It's like every time I watch the trailer, I'm like, yeah, but I was excited about the trailer for the last one too. Just
This is a Zack Snyder point of view almost. It's going to be pretty. Anything can happen. It's going to be so pretty this time.
Yeah, the prequels were pretty compared to the first one, too.
No, they were not.
Yeah, they were beautiful to look at. There was just nothing there.
See, I will rarely agree with Wing, and I actually have to admit, I agree with him that The Phantom Menace is probably the best, to me anyway, of the prequels.
No, the best of the prequels is 3.
No, I'm done. No, I'm out of here.
I knew that. Okay, so what I really liked about the trailer were the parodies. The George Lucas cut, the Lego cut, they're all great.
The George Lucas cut was hilarious.
I don't think I saw that one.
I was rolling on the floor. We saw it right before we recorded ATGN this week, and they actually stopped and they said, go watch it before we record. I was the only one that had, and I watched it, and I was literally on the floor in front of my computer laughing. It was that good.
It is awesome. You need to on that down. We need to put that in the show notes somewhere because it's really a good one. But seriously, they did not pull the card of showing me old characters. I applaud them for that because it would have been easy to show R2-D2 and Han Solo and Leia. And we would have been like, oh.
No, they showed R2's little brother playing soccer.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Have you guys seen? I saw a drawing. I don't know where it is, but like there, it was that little droid, the little ball droid, and Baymax behind it running.
Yes.
Loved it.
It was hilarious. I loved it.
But yeah, so I'm excited. Really, really, really excited. And there's a Millennium Falcon, and that was the only old thing they pulled out, and I was happy. So I'm still happy.
Okay, I'm sorry. The best shot of that whole trailer for me was the X-Wings over the water.
That was awesome.
Agreed. That's the best shot.
And this is coming from a guy with a Rogue Squadron jersey. Loved it.
Yeah. The new helmets for the TIE Fighter pilot is awesome as well.
A lot of people are making a big deal out of it. I just think it, you know, after a certain amount of time, logos change.
I'm good with that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're maybe already trying to establish their next movie, so I'm good with that.
Did you guys see in the George Lucas yes. cut of the trailer? Yes,
that was awesome. It was awesome.
The X-Wing pilot like moves his head to the side.
Yeah, and did you see what was flying by, though, when they did the exterior shot?
Mm-mm.
It was the Luke Skywalker Tatooine speeder.
Yeah. It's something. It's when he opens the lightsaber, they got the right timing. They freeze frame just long enough so it works.
All right.
Okay, well, speaking of Star Wars, James Gunn compared Nebula, one of the villains from the latest Guardians of the Galaxy movie, to Boba Fett.
What?
Yeah. He said, to me, she's the Boba Fett of the movie. She's the one that you really dig because she's the cool one that we need to get more of. I hope to God that we get a chance to see a lot more of Nebula.
Okay.
Well, that would be up to him since he's writing the script.
I wonder who has a decision about that. Yeah. Oh, wait a second.
I hope to God, right.
But he was talking about how she's an interesting character and he hopes we see more of her. And included in this article was a deleted scene between Gamora and Nebula titled Sisterly Love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly something that was deleted early on in the editing process because they haven't redone the ADR or anything. So when they're moving around a lot, you can hear their costumes like squelching and stuff because of the leather. It's pretty fantastic.
Nice.
Has there been any talk about her not wanting to do the next movie?
I haven't heard anything. The only thing would be if she didn't want to shave her head again.
She probably has a multiple deal contract, so...
She was complaining about it because she found out that she had signed for multiple movies or she didn't realize... There was something about how she didn't realize she was going to have to do it again. And so she like started growing her hair out again. And then someone told her, you know, you're going to have to shave it again, right? There hadn't been anything coming out saying that she's not going to be a part of it, just that she was kind of bummed out about it.
Yeah, but it's like Chris Evans that found out that, oh, wait, I have to keep training? Oh.
So he'll be in super good shape in Avengers 2.
Yeah.
Because, like, he didn't have a break between the movies?
Nope. Mm-hmm. No, the last guy that did that was Hugh Jackman in the last Wolverine X-Men movie. And
he just got crazy ripped.
God.
Giving himself black eyes, just buttoning his jeans.
That was... Oh, my God.
So, we also heard something else about Guardians 2 this week.
Right. Nerdist has an exclusive interview with Michael Rooker about Yondu.
Yondu is epic.
Well, he did confirm that Yondu is going to be in Guardians 2.
Yay.
And he doesn't know for sure yet because he hasn't seen a script or anything. But it makes sense to him that the sequel would probably be a lot about Quill's search for his father.
Yeah.
And what role Yondu would play in that.
Yeah.
That would probably be true because that's the logical step in the redo of Star Wars.
Because we all know that.
It's the best Star Wars sequel we've had in years.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Oh, that's sad.
Right.
And he says that he sees the relationship between Yondu and Quill as father and son. You know, it's just the kind of relationship that Yondu would have with his son, which is a little bit messed up.
A little bit.
Good point.
Threatening to feed him to his crew every day.
Right. Yeah. You know, tough love.
I do still love Star-Lord's comeback to that at the end of the movie. What? Nobody does that.
Normal people don't say that.
Right. Awesome. I can't wait to see the movie, which comes out next week on Blu-ray, so I will finally have it. For those of you that got it digitally, congratulations. I'm still waiting for the Blu-ray.
Well, they don't have bonus features yet.
Bonus.
Yeah. Except for what Marvel keeps putting out like every week. They trickle them out.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Now you don't need the DVD anymore. It's all out.
Well, no, they just give you small chunks of the bonus features.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest. It's all going to wind up on YouTube the day after the DVD releases.
There's that, too.
That's, you know, true.
And then they have specials during off weeks of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, that sort of stuff. Okay, but moving on to the next Marvel movie, Avenger 2. I thought this news was very interesting. I heard it a couple of days ago. They're actually doing reshoots in the U.K.
Right. And from what I've heard about it, it's, you know, the standard reshoots that you do. Just a few pickup shots, reshooting a couple of scenes that didn't quite play out. It doesn't look like it's any major reshoots or restructuring of the story or anything like that.
Yeah, a 2-week reshoot is normal in these big ventures.
Right.
I mean, X-Men Days of Future Past did 6-week reshoot.
You know, but after listening to the commentary on Thor 2... It was incredible to me how many of these scenes were done without the other actor around.
Mm.
Like if there was two actors going, like the At the end of Avengers 2,
but the reason why Avengers works is because all these actors are in the same shot.
Okay.
Right.
So that's why they all had to come back. Okay, got it.
It looks like most of the cast is going to be there, and there is some speculation that maybe they're going to go ahead and shoot the shawarma scene in January.
Oh.
Which would be early for it.
Really?
But, yeah. Well, because, you know, they did the shawarma scene for the original Avengers movie the week after, or the same week that it premiered. They did it after the Hollywood premiere of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they went out, they shut the scene, and that's why some people are not showing their face, because they have beards and
stuff. Chris Evans had a beard, so they just kind of smeared some stuff on his face to cover it up, and that's why he's leaning on his hand the whole time. Because you can't see his face, because, you know, it looks silly.
So people who had the movie like 2 weeks in advance in Australia and stuff like that did not have the shawarma scene.
Right. So they did the Hollywood premiere, and then a week later it came out, was the world debut. So that's when they shot that scene, was in between those two releases.
Wow. Cool.
Yep.
Technology. Love technology.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I just didn't know it was that close. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And then they're also saying that Avengers 3 and 4, the Infinity War parts 1 and 2 are going to be shot back to back. Which isn't that surprising. That's the way they've been doing a lot of these, you know, really connected sequels lately. Mm-hmm. And that because of the way it's being shot, they're obviously going to have the same director. And the speculation is still that it's going to be the Russo brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the way this is shaping to be, there's going to be a big infinity. So a space part and a big Earth part. So probably in a scheduling point of view, it's easier to have all these actors that you have these contracts in consecutive week. So you can overlap the one that are going to be mm-hmm. in the same shot together.
Well, and it makes sense from a logistics point of view, too. If you're going to use the same set location in both movies, shoot all of the shots that are going to be at that location at the same time, as opposed to having to re-go to the same location again.
There you go. And then post-production, you fill in. That's it. Mm-hmm. You do maybe a 3 weeks reshoot or something like that, and right. You're good to go. Lord of the Rings style.
Do we know of anybody else in Avengers 2?
Well, funny you should mention that. Because I found another article that says these reshoots could mean that we're going to get Captain Marvel cast by as early as January.
Ooh.
If they decide to give her a cameo appearance in Avengers. Or if they decide to do the same thing they did with the first Avengers movie and shoot this later but before the premiere, like April. Then maybe that's when we'll get a casting announcement if they choose to include her as part of that shawarma scene.
That'd be awesome.
And there's also some speculation that maybe they'll go ahead and do some pickup shots with Black Panther, since they are going to the Wakandas in this movie. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Ultron is going to go there to try and get some vibranium, that maybe we'll go ahead and see Black Panther.
Hmm. Woohoo! We want to see Black Panther.
Because they do have that part already cast with Boseman. Chadwick Boseman.
That's true. Marvel building.
Yeah, that's great. So the next casting speculation that I've seen is that Emily Blunt is willing to play Captain Marvel.
Well, I mean, this isn't any official rumor even.
Right.
It's just somebody asked her, are you aware that internet people think you'd be good as Captain Marvel? And she was like, oh, that sounds cool. And from this interview that I'm reading, it doesn't look like she even knows a whole lot about the part. She just thinks it would be interesting to play this iconic female superhero. And if they call, she'd probably say yes. Which, duh, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Maybe that's her way to say to the world, yeah, I'll take it.
And then she kind of offhandedly mentions that, hey, maybe it should be a musical.
I'm still hoping for Katie Sackhoff.
Me too. I want that so bad.
But if they don't cast her for that, they could cast her in an Inhuman movie, you know, as the queen.
Yeah, as Medusa.
Yeah.
Okay, so if
that would be cool.
Yvonne Stravinsky does not get Captain Marvel, what character would be good for her in the Marvel Universe?
Anything.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anything and everything. I want to see her in a Marvel movie.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen her in anything since Chuck.
Yeah, not our point.
Yeah.
I've seen her in Mass Effect 2.
I was going to say, I've seen digital versions.
A lot. A lot of butt shot too, but that's beside the point.
I thought that was your point.
That's as far as the conversation ever got for me, because I couldn't. I just...
So listeners out there, do me a favor. If you can think of a great character for Yvonne Stravinsky to play in the Marvel Universe, not DC, but Marvel Universe, please let us know.
No, let's get her to DC. That would be great.
That would be good too, but I would like to see her in Marvel.
DC is casting a lot right now, so.
Yeah, but what female characters do they have coming up? They've already cast Wonder Woman.
They have Harley Quinn.
She would be good as Harley Quinn. Have they already cast that part?
Yeah, they cast that part this week.
Who got it?
Oh, God, they're good. That's not in the news. Talk amongst yourself. I'm coming.
And that's like years and years down the road. I want to see her now.
No, that's 2 years down the road.
The Marvel stuff that's not cast yet is years and years down the road, too.
Well, that's true.
Except for Doctor Strange, which they still haven't cast.
Gender flip Doctor Strange.
There we go.
Yeah. There you go.
That would... Whoa.
Good job.
Now I'm trying to think of who would play Doctor Strange in the gender flip Doctor Strange, because it wouldn't be Yvonne Strahovski. She's not old enough.
Clearly not.
She would play...
Sigourney Weaver.
She can play... Yeah.
Nice.
No, Yvonne Strahovski can be the female Thor.
Yep, that could work. That could work. I think Henry Cavill would be a good Balder. If you weren't tied up with all that stupid Superman stuff.
Good point. Okay. So
little no-name film, you know.
Harley Quinn is played by Margot Robbie.
Yes.
I don't know who that is.
And they have Will Smith as Deadshot.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto as the Joker.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy is playing another DC character as Rick Flagg. This time he's going to be able to talk.
So I guess Jared Leto is not going to be Doctor Strange.
Nope.
I guess. Well... Who knows? Who knows the nature
of
his contract?
We're not supposed to mention that until there's actually an announcement, Haley. You should know that by now.
I just said who wasn't going to do it. I didn't say who was. Right. Except I said Sigourney Weaver should do it.
That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I could get behind that.
Sigourney Weaver needs to work more. So yeah, they're casting Suicide Squad with Harley Quinn. So yay.
All right. So you know what else is pretty cool?
Is it the part of the podcast where we get to talk about Agent Carter?
It is.
Yes.
Oh, yay.
For 2 hours.
Right, they've announced that there's going to be a 2-hour premiere for Agent Carter, which means we're going to get the 2-hour premiere and then they have to take a week off. So, good job there, guys.
They just get you in, you know, and then they rip you apart.
It's buying something on credit.
I wonder what's going on that next week that they can't show it.
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe the Super Bowl? I don't know.
Super Bowl?
On a Tuesday.
I don't know when they play the footballs.
The footballs. It's a Sunday. Trust me.
Yay, sports ball.
Yeah. Okay. So, although sports watching ball. The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode this week, as I was going through the commercials, I did notice a new preview that I hadn't seen before.
Well, they had two new previews that they put out since the last time we did a podcast.
Ooh.
In the first one, well, she actually, in both of them, but in the first one, she wears this fantastic red hat, and a phone operator says, "Love the hat."
Yes.
So, yeah, that's the highlight. And then in the second one, some skeevy guy from the 40s is like, "Oh, what's your name, sugar?" Her first name is Agent.
Oh, there you go. Awesome.
That's good.
Who came? I wonder who came up with that line, if it was Robert Downey Jr. or if it was some writer.
That seems like one of his.
That could be either way.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that seems like something Robert Downey Jr. would say, but that also seems like something Tony Stark would say. So
yeah.
That also seemed like something like a writer would think that Robert Downey Jr. would say. So, and when your writer on that movie is just Whedon, it could, yeah.
I was going to say, it all.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
I don't know, but I was watching the preview for Agent Carter, and I noticed one scene where they just kind of dragged it out of her putting on her pantyhose.
Yeah.
And you remember the brilliance that was Baywatch? It was just the whole show should have been running. The entire show should have been them running on the beach.
Not just running, but slow-mo running, right? Right.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some slow-mo jumping into water, slow-mo coming out of water.
As long as there is a scene of Hayley Atwell putting on pantyhose or putting on her stockings at some point in every episode, I will personally pay to keep this show on the air for as long as I possibly can.
Get that Patreon account going, Disney. We're all good here.
Well, it's like I'll keep watching Arrow as long as he has to do the salmon ladder every week.
Yep. And
every week.
Just and if we add the other people to do it, is that okay too?
You know, I have a type.
Like if we can, you know, make Superman fake doing it.
Oh, talking about Superman. So as Flash was on last night, you know, we're in the holiday month, December, and the channel that the TV is on when we're not watching anything else is the Hallmark channel. So as Flash was on, it was
actually, I'm disappointed in you.
Well, hold on. As Flash was on the Hallmark channel, there was a movie that Brandon Routh was on.
Nice.
So,
that doesn't make it okay.
Well, I flipped over and I watched it, so we're all good. And talking about Arrow, the last news story we have this week, it's a non-news story from Wing, is that Stephen Amell said that he would love to do an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Arrow crossover.
Oh,
who wouldn't love that?
See, I didn't even know this story when I said that I wanted to see Oliver and May fighting.
Oh, God.
I thought it was funny that you mentioned it. I was like, oh, that would have been a perfect segue if we were in the news section already.
I didn't even know it was there. That's the funny thing.
Wow.
I want to see Oliver say, Ward, you have failed this country, and put an arrow through his chest.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome.
Somebody needs to ask him that on Facebook. He might do it. You know, actually, he might
just
do it.
I know there are like fans out there that make their own little comic panels. Just one where Oliver puts an arrow through Ward's chest. That's all I need.
A boxing glove arrow, maybe?
Nope, because that would not kill him.
I think I just broke Jay, though.
Oh, boxing glove arrow. Awesome.
All right. So we got some feedback since last time.
Feedback!
Yes. Adana Girl on Twitter, Christy, she tweeted us, and this was a couple of weeks ago, but she tweeted us a picture of her Baymax joining her crew. And if you go to her Twitter feed on November 21st, you will see a great picture of her little Baymax toy. Also, some guy called @Scopehound says...
Sounds like a tool.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God, can you even imagine? I want to hear Rocket saying LLZ or singing Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Yeah, no, this was a little panel that I found a friend of mine. apparently, there were a number of people that were auditioned to play Rocket Raccoon, and two of them were H. John Benjamin and David Tennant.
I think H. John Benjamin would have been awesome as Rocket.
Oh, absolutely brilliant.
David Tennant, too.
I would have loved to at least gotten a hold of the tapes and just, I want to see something, yeah.
All right, so who would David Tennant play in the Marvel Universe?
He could play Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love David Tennant.
A magic dimension hopping doctor? That doesn't work for you?
That's a bit... No, that's too far-fetched. I don't think you can pull that one off.
I just don't think he's got the look.
Yeah, he does. If he can grow a goatee, he's fine.
He doesn't have the look they want him to have. That's the thing.
No, and he's not the kind that would be serious enough for that role. Like, when you see David Tennant, that's not what you expect. That's not what you want him to do.
The problem right now when we think Marvel Universe is we need to go larger and we only have the main characters in mind right now. Again, there's a bunch of people in Inhuman that needs to arrive, and in Captain Marvel movie, who are they going to pull off for villain in that? David Tennant, maybe?
I got to bring this up really quick. In the chat, Adam, who's chatting us live on Mixlr chat, said that David Tennant could play the Watcher if Stan Lee wasn't already playing him. I think that would be a great casting choice.
Here's the thing. I hate the Watcher so much. He is such a tool.
Tennant would love to play that, though.
He would be good at that.
I am fine with them never bringing the Watcher in, because he's awful. Awful.
All right. Also, Defy Down Under tweeted us and said, another great cast. I don't want Simmons to be brainwashed, but I think she is. Please, more Trip. And yes, equal opportunity ogling.
Yes.
And okay. If you'd like fair. That, you should watch Arrow.
Yes.
Yes.
You should watch Arrow. Yeah. And this week's Flash. It's all yes. about the Ogling.
I think this week's Flash has it for me. After all those years of Arrow, yeah, this week's Flash was awesome. Okay, and also Neil, this is the first time we've heard from Neil in quite some time. Neil Isn't Witty tweeted us and he said, so, Audible has Captain America the Winter Soldier for 99¢. Hashtag it's all connected. I don't know if this deal is still going on, but Neil, thank you very much for tweeting us. And friend of the cast, Andy Mingna, tweeted us and said, you are more happy with the 2-hour premiere for Agent Carter? ? And yes. You know what? I think as happy as I am to see Felicity on Flash this week, I think if you multiply that about 100 times, then you're getting into the ballpark where Lauren and Haley are with Agent Carter.
Oh, I am so excited about Agent Carter. I've been looking forward to it more than anything else this year. I'm not going to lie. I'm more excited about it than I was about the return of Arrow or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the start of Flash. Like, Agent Carter, that's where it's at. I might even be more excited about that than Avengers right now.
Ooh.
I'm not going to lie.
We've talked about that before, and all right, I'll go with it for you, but I'm more excited about Avengers. Okay,
I'm not.
Well, shut up, Wing.
Gosh dang it, you're making me agree with Wing. I just feel dirty.
No, it's not.
I'm thinking over the world.
You're still looking forward to Avengers. Wing is not. There's the difference there. Okay.
Right.
Okay, we do have a voicemail from Mr. Black Adam.
Hey, agents. This is Adam. All I have to say is I have no idea how they're going to top this for the mid-season finale next week. There were a couple great scenes with both sets of science babysitters, one of them for the last time, unfortunately. Unless he survived, which, given he had super strength, isn't necessarily out of the question. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later.
He brings up a good point. How is this all going to end?
He's comic book dead.
I think he's fine.
Yeah.
Terrigen Mist, though. That's how it's going to end. Yep.
He's going to become super.
No, not him, but Sky and Reyna, maybe.
Yeah, well, no good point.
So wait, are we actually going to wind up having like superheroes in our superhero show?
Maybe.
Ah, wow, that would be like breakthrough.
And then like just the next half of the season is them trying to figure out how to use their powers.
They're going to spend two whole episodes just trying to come up with names for each other.
They gave him a name.
Give him a name. Well, if
no,
you need
Fitz is going to try and come up with the name, and he's going to be like, and Simmons is going to finish it for him.
Oh, you know, that would be great.
That was a touching moment in this week's episode that we did not talk about. You know, they're going at it, going at it, going at it. But when they get to that final scene, when they're above that air shaft, and Simmons actually finishes what Fitz started to say.
After Mac specifically was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you know, he was willing to help out, and he was just like, nope, not going to do it.
Oh, science babies.
But you know what? That really reminded me, like, of, as soon as that happened, the first thing I thought was like, oh, man, it's just like back in episode one. This is great. And that's the thing. Like, as soon as I said that, I'm like, oh, man, they're setting us up to really crush our souls.
Yep.
Yes. It's the Wheatons.
Are you ready? Boom.
Right. Aww. So we're going to get something next week. We'll see what it is. Thank you very much for the voicemail. We do have a voicemail line, which you can contact us at. It's 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871 to give us your episode feedback, your feedback of our podcast, or your Science of Marvel questions. I tried to throw one in there this week and was kind of shot down, but I made sure it was in there. And since I edit, it's going to be in there.
What was it?
The science. It was the frequency thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. One last thing. We have some ratings, which we didn't talk about before, but I want to make sure we mention it since it is the highest since the season 2 season premiere.
Ooh.
Yeah. 5.3 million viewers. That's the overall viewership, which did not quite beat out NCIS New Orleans, just because, you know, those things, everyone watches them and nobody likes them.
That's the one with Scott Bakula, right?
I don't know. I can't keep all those alphabet shows straight.
I think the only reason that I even know that is because I watch Person of Interest and they promote the heck out of those NCIS shows during that. Anyway.
Right. So it doesn't beat them out in the overall viewership, but in the 18 to 49 demographic, it is crushing. Just destroying.
So the audience that they're actually going for.
Right. The people that they care about. And actually, with the live plus 7-day ratings, the latest episode they have those numbers for, it was a 93% increase in viewership.
Jeez. So what was the beginning number? Do you know?
I don't remember because it was from a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay.
It would have been, you know,
like four
or something.
So
like 4.5, something like that.
Bumped it up to like an 8 or a 9.
Yeah. To almost 9 million viewers.
Wow.
It's crazy with these +3, +5, +7 now. It's Gotham at some point that did a 22.5 million +7. I was like, wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, The Walking Dead and Gotham are pulling in ungodly numbers. And that is amazing because they're both going up against NFL football, by the way. Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football.
And people have nothing good to say about Gotham. I love the show, but everybody I'm talking to, I need to convince. They're like, nah.
Well, you know, it was difficult for me, Wing. The only reason I watched it was because of you and the podcast on the Gonna Geek Network. And I was
It's gotten better.
Yeah, it took me till the end of episode 6, and I was like, oh, this is actually getting good. And yes, it there was some ebbs and flows since episode 6, but yes, it has gotten better.
Yeah, I feel like it's just steadily improving.
Yes. Yes. When the show understood it didn't have to take itself seriously, it's a little bit campy. And when you get that, the show is awesome.
It's a lot more serious than any of the other comic book shows on TV right now.
Yeah, but yeah. In that 70s gritty, campy kind of way.
Except for maybe Constantine, but I don't know if anybody's watching that. I know I'm not.
Isn't that already canceled?
Yeah, that's the problem. That's
a couple people on the network started picking it up. I know Chris from Starling Tribune, Gunna Geek, and ATGN.
We pointed out yesterday that if Gunna Geek doesn't have a podcast on it, it's canceled.
The show's going to fail.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of talking about it on small screen, but they're not that interested in it. So
yeah, so... Next show that we really like, we need to get on it. I don't know what these Netflix things are going to look like, but people are going to need to...
We got that.
Yep. We got the Marvel Netflix stuff on this podcast.
Yep. We claimed all of Marveldom.
So you're going to sit for a weekend, watch all of it in a row, and record 13 podcasts in a week?
No. We'll do it.
And then make Star Pie edit them all.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. So what...
Evil plan, that Ching. Taking over your life.
Yeah. What I do plan on doing, though, is when on December 15th, when the three-night affair airs on The Ascension on Skiffy, I do plan on releasing podcasts about that. Maybe not all at once. It might take 3 weeks, but I'll be releasing podcasts about that on Voices of Defiance. It's the off-season for Defiance anyway, so we're just going to go ahead and do it.
Woot.
So if you're interested in that show, hit me up, and we might arrange some recording times. In the meantime, we're about done here, aren't we?
I think so.
Yeah, there's a Arrow episode to go watch now.
I know.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yes.
The last part of the crossover. So thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate all our listeners, and we appreciate all the feedback that we have received.
Right. Thank you to everyone that hit us up on Twitter. Adonna Girl, Defy Down Under, Neil Isn't Witty, and Andaminga. We appreciate all of your feedback, and especially those of you that interact with Lauren when she's doing the live tweeting on the episodes.
Yay. Thank you to Black Adam. He calls every week. I love it. Thank you, man. Keep going.
Way to support the network.
Yes. I love it.
We need to fix you up with like a microphone or something and just because you definitely need.
We're going to make you like record a 1 minute capsule every week.
Yeah, for all the shows and just play it on all the shows. That'd
yes.
be awesome. Yes. The
that
Black
would be awesome.
Adam segment. And then also thank you very much to everybody that stopped by to Mixlr. We do stream live as we record, and then I edit the podcast and then send it out later. So the version that you hear when it goes on iTunes and stuff like that is not necessarily the version that you hear live. And it might be a little racier. It might be a little funnier. You never know. So come catch us out. Check us out at Mixlr, live.legendsofshield.com. We generally start streaming live about 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday nights. So that's it for this week. Until next week when we have the mid-season finale. I noticed they called it the winter finale, but we're on the Gunna Geek Network are going to continue to call
it. I suspect that Steven's bribing them. It's a plot from the Canarians.
Massive amounts of cash.
No, I'm not in that plot. I swear. It's a mid-season
you're
finale.
French.
That's exactly what a conspirator would say.
Ooh. Yeah, but I'm French. I just want to separate from the rest of Canada.
I think your whole race is trying to do that, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, Jay's from Texas. Don't they can do that anytime they want?
In their own minds, they've already done it. Actually, if you'll listen to that thing from Stephen Amell that we post about where he talked about the Arrow Shield crossover, he says that he's an honorary American because his daughter is one third American and one third Texan.
There you go.
Nice.
We can do math too. Okay. Until next week, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Undercover Hydra Agent J.
And I'm Constantine Wing.
Bye bye. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.